There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. The good news is that Happy Mammoth Hormone Harmony exists. It's dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromises when it comes to quality, and it shows. You guys know we love Happy Mammoth. Besides helping with symptoms like PMS, poor sleep, lethargy, occasional bloating and gas, and other really uncomfortable symptoms, the biggest benefit and my favorite benefit is the feeling like myself again feeling. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews of Happy Mammoth Hormone Harmony. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code GOALS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code GOALS for 15% off today.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your host, Caroline. If you're new to the show, this show, Girls with Goals, is hosted by myself and my twin sister, Anne Catherine. But some weeks we hop on by ourselves and, you know, chat with you guys directly, chat right into the microphone, and have a solo episode. So you guys have me this week. And thank you for your patience with this episode. As a lot of you guys know, Anne Catherine and I are finishing up our last semester of school. We had midterms week, then we had a break where we went and visited some friends in California. And you know, there's an old version of me that would have pushed myself to stay up all night making an episode while I had midterms or to do it during my break. But I'm in the zone of protecting my peace a little bit more this year. I don't want to cause more stress in my life than is necessary. So when I checked out of work for that vacation, And I'm happy I was able to do that because I have been feeling decently overwhelmed recently, which is kind of what I want to talk about in this episode. What I'm kind of stressing about, what I'm thinking about, and talk through it with you guys because I think it's probably a relatable thing that you're either going through alongside with me, have gone through, or will in the future. And that is life transitions and not being sure what's next. For me specifically, I'm graduating college in a month or 2 months. I'm done with classes in about a month and a half, graduate in 2 months, and I could not be more excited. I've been in college for 5 years now in Boston. I go to Northeastern University, and with different like experiential learning and internships and stuff they do, a lot of the time it ends up being a 5-year program. I also took some time off to travel by myself, blah, blah, blah. I feel like I've been here forever, and I'm so excited to finish and be done with school and feel accomplished in that sense. But it's also daunting trying to figure out what's next. And where I'm at right now, looking ahead to the future, is I feel like I'm staring down a million different paths. I see a lot of different versions of the next step of my life, and it's not cut out for me. That doesn't necessarily bother me. I think that I've been able to build my own path in life in a lot of different ways, no matter what. But I think it's this like abundance of choices that I'm struggling to figure out what's right. What's right for me to do personally, what's right for my life. And yeah, it's just kind of overwhelming. I'm bouncing back and forth. I kind of have different ideas and visions all the time. I have multiple visions that I have at once that feel like they can't exist at the same time. So, you know, some of the questions I'm asking myself are, should I work for myself and work freelance, or should I go for a corporate job? Do I want to work remotely because I love to travel and because I also work on social media and I want to have the flexibility? Or do I want to, you know, lean into some of my bigger career goals and, you know, sit down and be in person and be in an office, push myself in that sense, collaborate with other people, you know, the drill. Also, where do I want to live? Do I want to stay in Boston? Do I want to move somewhere new? Do I want to travel and bounce around and be a little bit nomadic, or do I want to, you know, pick a city and get a job there and rent an apartment there? Guys, I just don't know. All of these questions, and they all kind of lean on each other, but I just don't know. And like I said, I'm seeing so many different visions and so many things I want to do, and it's making me a little bit confused. Whether you're in school, graduated, wherever you're at, I think when we grow up, when we get to our 20s, sometimes the moment we graduate, like, there's this unspoken expectation sometimes that we should have this clear linear plan for our lives. You know, everyone asks, oh, what are you doing next? Where are you going? As if we always need to have it, you know, completely sorted out, and we need to know our next step. Like, the world tells us to pick a career, to settle into a place, to follow this like stable trajectory without any detours or second guessing. But the truth is, life comes with a lot of detours and second guessing. It comes with a lot of unexpecteds. So what if you don't have it figured out, you know? What if, like me, you're torn between multiple paths? Maybe you want different things that feel contradicting. I know that I crave freedom, but I also crave stability. And when choosing something to do in my next step, like, sometimes it feels like I'm choosing one or the other. It feels like I'm choosing maybe the freedom of, do I want to work for myself and travel and be a bit nomadic for a year? Or the stability of, or do I want to put some roots somewhere and work with a company and make friends in a new city and have like a more day-to-day routine? I see myself in both of those scenarios, in both of those places, and I see myself like being happy in each of them or having pros and cons, and I kind of get spurts of motivation or drive towards one or the other at different moments, and I'm kind of unsure right now where I truly belong. Maybe that's a relatable feeling for you guys. The pressure to have this perfect plan can feel pretty suffocating. You know, it kind of can feel sometimes that uncertainty means failure, or like you're doing something wrong, when that's just not true, because the truth is that nobody has it all figured out. I think some people are just better at pretending, or some people are just better at going with it and not questioning things and not maybe trying to have intention behind it. Whereas I think that sometimes if you are unsure and you're overthinking it, it just means that you care a lot more about your life. Not to say that, you know, if people have known from day one what they want to do and they have drive and they're moving towards that, they don't care about their lives. Of course they do. But I think sometimes the easy way out is just, you know, whatever's easiest and whatever's right in front of us. And so it might be a good sign if you're feeling confused, because it might mean that, you know, you obviously care. You have some sort of ambition to do something a little out of the ordinary, and with that might come a bit of a feel of failure, a little bit of uncertainty. But life is not a checklist. Life is an evolving journey. It's trial and error, it's self-discovery, and sometimes not knowing what's next is exactly where you're supposed to be, and that's what I'm trying to lean into right now. We all know the feeling of scrolling through Instagram or LinkedIn if you're in a business space, and it feels like everyone is thriving because everyone's posting their best moments. They're posting their vacation pictures, they're posting their promotions. Someone's moving to a new city or landing their dream job. Someone else you went to school with is getting engaged, or someone's, you know, traveling the world, and you're sitting there behind your phone and you're wondering what your next step should be. And it feels like these people have it figured out, but I promise they don't, because, you know, you could do the same thing. You could look at my page. You could see my fitness, you could see my travel, you could see me, you know, in school and being social with friends, but I'm pretty lost right now about what my next steps are going to be, and you can't tell that behind the scenes. You also can't tell that about anybody else. Social media creates this highlight reel, which we all know, of major life milestones, and it makes it seem like everyone else has this perfect, well-planned path, but what we don't see are anybody's moments of doubt, any rejected job applications, any time spent overthinking, you know, all of these countless people who also feel lost and just aren't posting about it, because really no one has it all figured out, no matter how put together they look online. Sometimes I think it's really interesting how when we look at social media, it is interesting to see how many different places people are in life at the same time. Like, if you were to look on social media and you look at somebody who's 25, based on who you follow, you're probably seeing a lot of people get engaged, a lot of people get apartments. But to a lot of people, that's too young to do those things. To a lot of people, you know, they're traveling. They're maybe still living at home. They're figuring it out. So you could see a 25-year-old getting engaged and a 35-year-old getting engaged. And both of those are relatively normal. I think that there's a pretty wide timeline where you're able to do things these days, which is kind of interesting. And, you know, you could have people who leave school and travel for a while. You have people who go home for a while and they save money and you work around home. So when somebody is moving to a new city and getting a new apartment and, you know, you're going home for the summer to figure it out, that can feel a little anticlimactic. But, you know, look around, look beyond social media, and you see that actually a lot of people are doing that too. A lot of people are in the same place. And also, I know for anybody who is applying to new jobs right now, the job market is so tough. And I have, you know, I have a lot of smart friends around me who really, really struggle to find jobs. And you don't see that. You don't see how many applications people are putting in. You don't see how many cover letters people are writing. You just see that one LinkedIn post at the end of it saying, you know, I got the job. Your journey is yours. And it's important to remember that your timeline and your life, it's not a race. That's something that I have to remind myself sometimes too. And I'm kind of reminding myself now as I talk about it with you and I sound all preachy about your timeline isn't a race. Like, I need to remember that my timeline and my life is not a race either. Because just because I want something doesn't mean that I have to have it tomorrow, you know? And just because I feel like, you know, things are contradictory because I want freedom, but I also want a career at the same time. And it seems like I almost have to choose one or the other for my next step. It's not a race. I can still have all of those things in my life, maybe just in a different balance than I'm able to have them now. So your journey's yours, and it doesn't have to look like anyone else's, is my point here. One of the biggest reasons I think I'm stuck in some indecision right now, and why you might be as well, is the fear of choosing something wrong. I've had a lot of these thoughts the past year, whether it's been through a breakup, through now choosing what to do next, feeling like what is right and what is wrong, and trying to put things in these right or wrong buckets. You know, what if I go a more traditional career route and take a corporate job and then I hate it? But what if I go freelance and I get bored and I burn out of working for myself? What if I move to a new city and then it feels like, you know, I did that too soon. I should have spent more time with my family. I should have spent more time, you know, bopping around before I started paying rent and choosing a place that now feels permanent. And these what ifs can be endless. And this pressure to make the perfect choice and the right choice can be paralyzing, because there's no way to know these what ifs. There's no way to predict the future. And you can look at multiple possible futures, multiple possible paths, and see pros and cons from each of them. There's no way to know what is right and what is wrong. What can be comforting to know in this situation is that no decision is permanent. You're not locked into one decision. You're not locked into one career or one location or one lifestyle forever. People pivot all the time. You see this all the time. Even if it's people, you know, changing their favorite musical artist, changing their fashion sense, changing their major in college, changing an industry, moving across to a different state, moving across the world. The key is understanding that, you know, regret, it doesn't usually come from making the wrong choice. It comes from not making a choice at all. If you make a choice and you later decide that it's not right from you, chances are you're not going to feel like you failed, and you're not going to feel like you did the wrong thing, because you're still going to have gained some progress, some movement in some direction, and you're still going to have learned from it. If you can think about how regret usually comes from not taking action more than it does from taking action, it can maybe help you to feel like there is no right or wrong, and that no matter what, you can always pivot, it's not permanent, and you learn through doing things and you learn for experiencing things. So if you're also feeling a little bit overwhelmed, paralyzed, whatever, by this fear of making the wrong choice, instead of aiming for a perfect decision, try to just focus on what the next decision is, the next decision in front of you. Because what overwhelms me is if I think I'm going to get a job and live in New York City, then that, I all of a sudden am thinking, well, that means that I'm going to meet new friends in New York City, and I'm going to build a lifestyle in New York City, and then I'm going to date in New York City, and what if I meet the person that I want to marry in New York City, and then that's where I am when I decide that I want to have kids, and then does that mean that I'm settling in New York City? Guys, no. No. But it's hard not to think that way, because, you know, there always is a butterfly effect. You know, one choice that you make can influence a bunch of different actions and a bunch of different results for you down the road. And that's overwhelming. But you, right now, you don't need a lifelong plan. You just need to take the next step. You need to choose the next step. One next step in front of you that feels right, that you feel comfortable with and excited about, and trust that that is going to take you one step along the way. I also wrote down some questions for this episode to share with you guys so that if you're feeling a similar way, you can ask it to yourself, and I can also ask myself. So from this first kind of section about being overwhelmed, feeling a little bit of fear, it might seem like there are a lot of different decisions to make. Like for me, it's, you know, do I want to work for myself or other people? Where do I want to live? Try to simplify it and decide, you know, what's the hardest decision I'm making right now about my future? For me, it's the balance of how much I work for myself with my social media work and how much I work for somebody else. It's if I get a full-time position, if I get no position at all and work totally solo and freelance by myself, or maybe if I sort out something part-time or in between. That impacts my lifestyle a lot. And then I think that trickles down to then decide if I need to choose one place to base myself to live, or if I can be a bit more flexible and bounce around. So I think that's at the core of the first question I need to answer. And the truth is, like, I think it's just gonna sort out as an opportunity comes and I pursue it and it feels right.
You know, Caroline and I think language learning is so important. Whether you're traveling, looking to connect with friends or family, experience other cultures, knowing another language can create amazing opportunities. And you know that we love learning languages through Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone helps you absorb a language the way you learned your first, through real-world context and conversation. No memorization, just practical skills that you can use right away. Caroline has been on a streak of Mandarin lessons. We grew up in Hong Kong and learned Mandarin in school, but we don't get a lot of opportunities to speak while in the US. And I will say, since she's been doing lessons through Rosetta Stone, she is picking it back up again so well. Don't wait, unlock your language learning potential now. Girls with Goals listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning.
Fish Creek, Wisconsin. Beautiful, quiet, isolated, anonymous. It's all that 19-year-old Elizabeth needs and everything she wants. Cloistered in her tiny cabin, Elizabeth is determined to be alone, hiding from her memories and making sure that no one can ever hurt her again. But when a massive snowstorm strikes, plunging the town into darkness, Elizabeth finally allows herself to accept help from her neighbor Noah, the town's young sheriff. Forced to show him more vulnerability than she ever intended, Elizabeth realizes she can no longer outrun the scars of her childhood, and facing the darkness might be exactly what she needs to let the light in. I Am the Cage is a quietly powerful portrait of a young woman's journey to confront the medical trauma inflicted to fix her and heal her heart in the process. Buy your copies of I Am the Cage wherever books are sold.
Right. Like, because it's a decision that I'm having a hard time deciding right now, I think it's something that could go either way for me. And I need to just stay open to, you know, feeling what I feel about things and listening to myself.
Something that gives me a lot of comfort to think about when it comes to choosing a career in my young life and choosing a direction to go is actually looking at my parents and thinking about their different careers and their success. I think my dad specifically had a big career change after college for him. He went to school to be a civil engineer and was working in that landfills, actually was his specialty, for, you know, years of his life post-grad. And then he saw some of his buddies in sales jobs and he was like, that I actually think I would be really good at. That seems cool to me. And also, they're making a lot more money than me, and I'm doing a lot more labor and thinking, and I think I'm, you know, using my brain more than them. So let me try this out because I think it could be good at it too. And he gets into a computer chip sales business. That goes really well. He enjoys it, and then he ends up making his own business in the computer industry. Then randomly gets himself into footwear and apparel and starts a job in supply chain and operations of a company. And eventually that becomes something that's international. And my family got the opportunity to move to Hong Kong when I was younger and live in Hong Kong for a while. And my dad went from, you know, civil engineer in Maine to a pretty full 180 to be in footwear and supply chain, traveling all around the world for work, Asia, South America, Europe, and getting to, you know, take my family abroad. That's something that he never would have chosen or dreamed of or picked or visualized for himself until he took, you know, every step in front of him and just kept following where his vision was going and following, you know, what was working for him and what was drawing him towards it. I don't think that's something he could have picked right off the bat. My mom, in a different sense, she, I think, originally went to college in a law program and then ended up switching to nursing and worked her ass off to graduate with a nursing degree and has worked for a nurse ever since. But she's worked in hospitals, she's worked in plastic surgery centers, she's worked in rehab centers, she's worked in person, online. So even within that career, you know, she's been able to pivot at a lot of different points so that she was able to be a stay-at-home mom, so that she's been able to, you know, move and live abroad with my dad's career, so that she's been able to work from home when she wants to. And so it is kind of cool to look at the adults around you and see maybe how they've pivoted in their lives and how they've pivoted in their careers. And that could just even be like an older sibling or a cousin or somebody older than you that you look up to, looking at their path and the different decisions they've made. And maybe they've moved cities a couple times, maybe they've changed jobs a couple times. Help remind yourself that life's not permanent. And if these are people that you look up to, then things really do work out in time if you always take that next best step in front of you. So how do we move forward then in these situations when we're feeling unsure? I think you need to start by taking small steps, but also opening every door. You can't decline an offer you don't have. You can't turn down an opportunity you don't have. So why not pursue, to, you know, whatever extent you can, every vision that you have, every opportunity that you have, and see what doors actually open and see where they take you? Because that's a lot of the ways how you find out what's actually possible and what's sure. You may be thinking that you see 100 different things, but then when you actually start digging for what those real life opportunities are, when you actually start reaching out to people, when you actually start applying for jobs, the doors that open are going to be maybe far fewer than all of the ideas in your head and could turn out to open different doors that you didn't even expect. So take steps forward and start pursuing things, because you never know. Well, one, that's going to actually give you clarity on what is possible, but you never know if that's even going to bring, you know, a secret third option that you like even better than whatever you're feeling right now. Apply to a mix of different types of jobs and see what opportunities arise. Look into all different freelancing that you can do and different ways that you might be able to start and scale a business by yourself. Try building those things and looking into those on the side while maybe you work your in-person job. Go bounce around and visit friends in different potential cities. You can even, you know, if you have an extended period of time, do a week in a place or try a short-term lease before you commit to an actual move somewhere. I think the more that you try and the more that you pursue, the clearer things will become. And I can say this because in the past couple of months that I've been overthinking this a lot, I've had moments where I'm like, you know, that's it. I'm moving to Hawaii. Done. Give me a few months in Hawaii. I'll bounce between there and home. I'm working for myself. And then a month later, I see a job on LinkedIn where I'm like, oh my God, that actually looks like a really great position for me. That would be so awesome. I get it in my head that actually I would like doing that. I apply to the job and I never hear back, because that's just the way it is right now. You don't hear back half the time. And then there's one position I applied for that I wasn't really that interested. I got the interview and then I was like, you know what, that could be interesting, and it's a fully remote job, so it could give me the opportunity to travel, and maybe that's something in between where I'm working for someone but I'm working remotely. But then I decided that it just wasn't necessarily the company for me, but that did entice me and make me see that, you know, that's a potential setup and a balance that I might like. Then I decided that maybe it isn't Hawaii that I'm going to go to, maybe it's Australia. Maybe Australia is where I need to go to live my dream lifestyle, meet my dream man. I've always had, you know, a slight inkling in the back of my mind that I could do well with an Australian man. Whatever. Then it's, oh, well, if I work remotely, I can do both. And then I can bounce around between those places and home. And now since then, another job position, which happens to be in New York City, has come up that now I'm really, really excited about this potential opportunity, and I've applied and I'm pursuing it. And it's interesting because last week, you know, in my head, I was going to Australia, and then this week I'm getting this job in New York City. And the truth is that neither of those things have actually come to fruition. You know, I haven't even heard back yet, and I already have the job in my mind. And could that be me manifesting? Absolutely. But do I also know that I was manifesting myself last week working remotely and living in Australia? Yes. So would I probably be happy in either of those situations? Yes. Now I've opened those doors. Let's just see where it takes me. You know, let's just see where that takes me. One more conflict that I want to talk about that is a bit less specific to the post-grad debacle that I'm in right now and might be a bit more relatable for anybody in your 20s or anybody going through kind of like a growing stage of life where you're a bit unsure of how you want to be living your life, and maybe you're maturing out of a past lifestyle, but maybe you're feeling guilty for leaving things behind, or having, you know, a fear that you're going to miss things, or a fear that you're not doing the right things right now. I think there can be a lot of conflict in our minds between, you know, enjoying your 20s, being messy, or, you know, hustling and being your best self. Sometimes those things can feel a bit contradictory in vibes and in how they dictate the choices we make. I think our 20s are often described in two completely different ways. You know, on one hand, people say, you only have one life, this is your time to hustle, set yourself up for success, grind while you have the energy. You know, you have the most energy while you're young, be your fittest now, make yourself out to be your most successful now, work harder than you ever had before. La 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 la. Then, on the other hand, you have so many people saying that your 20s are the decade where you need to live. You know, the youth is wasted on the youth. Everyone wishes they could go back and be young again to travel and make mistakes. And this is the time to experience new things and enjoy your freedom before any major life responsibilities. So, you know, which is it? Should you be prioritizing ambition and building your future life? Or should you be embracing all of the spontaneity and making the most of your youth? And trying to find that balance and realizing that there is no perfect balance, and you might still mess it up and yours might look different than the person next to you, or might look different year to year. You know, there's no perfect balance, and that's what makes this stage of life so confusing. If we look into the hustle mentality, there's a strong argument for making your 20s about the grind. You have more energy, you're fresher in life, you might be more motivated. You also have fewer responsibilities now than you likely will in your 30s and beyond. You know, you're not deeply ingrained in a place, in children, in a family, in, you know, paying large bills. So this is a time where you can afford to focus on yourself, to put in long hours, and to build a strong foundation for your career. A lot of people say that, you know, if you work relentlessly now, you'll have more freedom later, that maybe if you are looking towards the future of your life, that by hustling in your 20s, you might set yourself up for a far more glamorous 40s and 50s and career success. And, you know, that might give you more flexibility to live even more later in life. And, you know, especially in a world where I think we get a lot of external motivation, especially in the US and just kind of that American, you know, grind culture. And in a world where competition's high and people feel the pressure to get ahead as early as possible, it can feel really tempting to take this on. But also, life is unpredictable, and if you spend all of your 20s just focus on work, you might look back and realize that you missed out on some moments you can't get back. Friendships, new experiences, or, you know, just simply the time to be young and be yourself, be who you are outside of your career, and figure it out. So that means, you know, on the flip side, there's a belief that your 20s should be about living. Partying, experiencing, traveling, dating, making mistakes, switching up careers if you need to, blah, blah, blah. You know, kind of YOLOing in a different sense, and leaning on the fact that this is the time when you can afford to mess up or to experiment without huge consequences. Your 20s are also often the time where you shape who you are and you shape some of your most core memories of your life. It's when you're building probably some of the relationships that are going to last the longest in your life, experiences that shape who you are. And if you spend all of that time grinding, you may not really figure out who you are. You may not get to exhaust all of the different options that you have in life, and you may not enjoy yourself as much or build as strong and long-lasting connections, and you might regret that later. You know, is the regret of realizing that you were so focused on the future that you never actually lived in the present, is that going to hit you, and is that going to hurt you? Socially, our 20s are unique because most people around us are also in this similar phase, and you probably will never have this same level of freedom again, and also all of the people around you being free and energetic as well. You know, not having families that they have to go home to, maybe not having jobs where they're working too long after hours. You know, a network of friends who are also figuring it out kind of makes it for a much more active period in your social life, in making memories, and all of that. But of course, there's a downside of that side as well, that if you focus only on enjoying life, only on making spontaneous choices, then, you know, you might wake up feeling unfulfilled, financially unstable. But obviously, if you're listening to Girls with Goals, I'm sure that you see some value in both sides of these, and I'm sure that you understand and can already predict that my answer to this is going to be that you can do both, duh. But again, it's just another place where you have to find the balance. You can work hard and you can still make time for adventure. You can build your career while still prioritizing experiences. I think the key behind all of it is having intention in each of the choices that you make. And it's not right, wrong. It's what's right for this moment and what's right for this other moment. So no matter what situation you're in right now, no matter what discomfort or uncertainty about your future and the next step you might be in, your life is yours. There's no inherently right way to do life. Truly, the most important thing that you do and that I do, and also, you know, it's okay to be confused. I'm confused. I think that's natural as well. And sometimes it's nice to lean into the, you know, I don't know, and that's fine, kind of fuck it mentality. But aside from that, the most important thing that you can do is listen to yourself and make choices that align with what you're feeling and what you want, not just what society tells us the path is. Because you get this one life, you are the person experiencing it, and it should go the way you want it to go. So use that to drive you to go open all of those doors and make the question not, you know, what's going to happen, but what will I make happen? And with that, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you guys so much for following along, for supporting Girls with Goals. If you're not already, follow on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening. And also follow us on Instagram at Girls with Goals Pod and either of our personals. I'm at Caroline Kanine and my sister is at Catherine Kanine. And we will be together back next week for an episode for you guys. See you on Monday. Bye.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.